League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Technique.
You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from Landry Seafood House in Galveston as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
An Astros rally falls short in the ninth as the Astros drop the series finale in Coors against the Rockies 7-6. Take the series. Still haven't lost a series in a long time. Now we'll head to L.A. and get set for the Dodgers.
12 straight series? 12 straight series without a loss, either two ties and 10 outright victories.
I saw that the Astros listed their pitching probables and listed a to-be-announced on Sunday. Yeah. Who was that? Who would be scheduled there? Would it have been? I'll have to go look.
So Lance and Gusto was the piggyback on Lance, and you got Fromber.
Yeah, Lance was listed as the Friday starter, and Fromber was listed as the Saturday starter.
So would it be Gordon? He was the first, so he could be in this trip and still pitch.
So McCullers pitched on the 28th against the Cubs. Fromber pitched on the 29th against the Cubs, and then who started Game One against Colorado?
Cole Gordon.
And Gordon. So Gordon pitched on Tuesday, so Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It'd be normal rest. Yeah. So I don't know why they didn't announce a starter.
I don't know, because who else would be the alternative? I mean, you're not going to go to the Sugar Land.
So you're not going to. You wouldn't do Hunter Brown, because they're Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It'd be 3 days rest. No way they do Hunter Brown.
Nope. And especially since he threw the most pitches he's thrown all year.
Unless they're trying to, like, space it out a little bit. Maybe they go, like, Gordon. Or, I'm sorry, maybe they go Gusto. And then try to get Hunter Brown on a very specific day. That way he can pitch coming out of the All-Star break, something like that. I don't know. I was confused that they didn't announce a starter on Sunday.
Yeah, I saw that when they put it out there, and I'm like, I wasn't quite sure which way they were going with it. To me, it just seemed like it was going to be Gordon.
Yeah, I thought I would have figured. I mean, look, maybe still it is Gordon, but they're like waiting to dot some I's, cross some T's. I don't know. It's kind of weird. But we'll talk about the Astros dropping that series finale here in about 15 minutes. 713-780-ESPN, Killer Bees Live, Landry Seafood House in Galveston, all part of our summer circuit. You come out, stop by the promo table. You can sign up to win some e-bikes, Power On e-bikes, a $4,000 value. So I was thinking about this the other day. I think the Texans have the best young foundation in the AFC. And the only reason I say AFC is because I think you can look at the Lions Young Foundation and maybe lean Lions. But I don't think there's another team in the AFC that has the young core that the Houston Texans do. And when you start looking at all the players that the Houston Texans are counting on, 2025 going forward, I mean, obviously it starts at the quarterback position. You have a quarterback on a rookie contract, not for that much longer, but a quarterback on a rookie contract that starts that young foundation. Because I really think that you have to have the quarterback to have the best young foundation. You could have a great foundation, not have a quarterback, and be like, yeah, but I don't really trust the young foundation because you don't have the QB. So it starts there with C.J. Stroud. But then you start looking at some of the other players around the offense, too. Like, Nico Collins is still fairly young and is going to be counted on for a while. You look at – we just talked about the receivers. Like, you drafted Higgins in the second. You drafted Noel in the fourth. Okay, young receivers that you're probably going to count on. Tank Dell, I'm not sure he's going to play next year, and then he's going to be in the final year of his contract. I don't know how much longer Tank Dell will be a Houston Texan. Time will tell on that. Offensive linemen, like, there's no one that I would throw into the mix there as, like, great foundational pieces. You hope that Blake Fisher turns into it, but I'm not ready to proclaim that. You hope that Ariante Ursary turns into that, but I'm not ready to proclaim that, although both of those guys were second-rounders. But then you look at the defense. You got Will Anderson on the defensive side. You look at who you have in the secondary. Derek Stingley, one of the best corners in the game. Kamari Lassiter's really good, had a really good rookie year. That might be the best duo in the league. I liked what I saw from Kalen Bullock last year. I think that the Houston Texans have the best young foundation in the AFC.
No, look, it's definitely worth talking about, because when you look at the rest of the AFC, if you're going to start with quarterback, Herbert's still young enough to where he would be in the conversation. I don't know if you feel like Burrow is still young enough to be in the conversation.
Yeah, borderline.
Yeah, but I think that when you look at it, other than that, it's hard to say that, because, you know, Jaden Daniels is in the NFC too, where you put some weapons around him and you start looking at from quarterbacks just alone. We talked about quarterbacks the other day. But just the full roster, it's more loaded up on the defense than the offense. But if you take the two Iowa State receivers and you start factoring in them as well as all these guys on defense, you're foundationally set, not just with the guys that are going to make the most money, but depending on if you can get the salaries done to keep them long term, you got a hell of a lot of talent on your defense, and you've got C.J. Stroud and two young receivers that look like they could be stalwarts of this team.
Texans with the Pro Football Focus did a top 25, 25 or under, and the Texans are the only AFC team that has three or more. And the Texans have three, and 25 or under, so it's kind of specific. But they have Will Anderson and C.J. Stroud and Derek Stingley. So like, that's before you even throw in Lassiter in the mix. Bullock into the mix as well. Like, Petrie's a little bit older than 25, so he's graduated that conversation. Nico a little older than 25, graduated that conversation. It's hard to put rookies in here because you don't know what they are yet.
Right.
But, no, I like where the Texans are foundationally going forward.
There's a chance that some of the other draft picks from this season to be guys that in a year's time we're talking about them kind of strengthening that foundation to say this team is deep and loaded for the long haul right now.
I think if you went entire NFL, I would put the Lions number one. And that's why I classified it AFC as opposed to NFL. Because Pene Sewell is still under 25, Brian Branch, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam LaPorta, Kirby Joseph. Like, Detroit's probably the best foundation.
Aiden Hutchinson?
I think he's a little older than 25.
But
whatever, like, who cares? Like, why are we being restricted by age, you know? Like, he's in that mix there.
Yeah.
So, like, he's a young player that's going to be there for a long time going forward.
I wonder if
he got docked because of the injury.
Maybe.
Oh, he's 24.
Yeah. I'll say this. As much as I have bias against them because of their quarterback, Green Bay is one of the deepest young teams in the league, too. Green Bay's got not just the receiver room. They've spent all their top draft picks for years and years and years on defense, but they've got a ton of wide receiver talent. They've got young offensive line that they continue to draft. I believe last year they were the youngest team in the NFL.
So Pro Football Focus doesn't have a single Packer in their top 25 under 25.
That's the problem. The problem is you've got a ton of talent combined.
Haven't really matured.
As a unit. But, yeah, you don't have – because from the receiver room, you don't have a wide receiver one in that entire room, no matter where you drafted him. So you're hoping that Golden becomes that guy. But I don't even know that he's going to be that guy. But you look at it, you say, look, from the secondary to the linebackers to the D-line that they've drafted, some of those guys are really – now, Lucas Van Ness, but the rest of the roster is very, very young and very talented, but no one has really stepped up and said, I'm dominant.
Most of these 25 players are in the NFC. Like, it goes Penny Sewell, number one. It has Puka, two. Kyle Hamilton, three. AFC with the Ravens. Jaden Daniels, Trent McDuffie with the Chiefs. So there's your second AFC guy. Verse with the Rams, Will Anderson, Brian Branch, Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Drake London, Stroud, another AFC guy, but it's
Will Anderson
Texan.
Too, right?
Will, I skipped over Will Anderson. Who's at seven?
Yep.
Derek Stingley, another Texan. Brock Bowers, so your third AFC guy, not a Texan with the Raiders, but they have, like, nobody else. Malik Nabers, NFC. Witherspoon with Seattle, the corner, NFC. Jalen Carter, Philly. Christian Benford from Buffalo, corner. So there's your fourth AFC guy, not a Texan.
Fifth, because you said McDuffie, the two Texans.
Well, what count of the Texans?
Bowers. Oh, gotcha.
So, like, an AFC team that's non-Texan. So you have Kyle Hamilton, Trent McDuffie.
Bowers.
Brock Bowers is 14. Then you have Benford at 18 with the Bills. Ladd McConkey, Chargers. I do like Ladd McConkey's game.
Good.
Now, would I have Ladd McConkey under before Brian Thomas Jr.? Ain't no way. Ain't no way.
Nope.
Brian Thomas Jr. was next. Like, I would have Brian Thomas Jr.
Ocho
ahead of
would
McConkey.
Be calling for days.
Did you say Kyle
Brian
Hamilton?
Thomas is a stud, man.
He's really good.
Brian Thomas is a very good football player. Devon Achane from Miami. So you're starting to see some AFC guys towards the bottom. And that's it. That's the final AFC guys. So you have seven AFC guys in the top 25 that aren't Texans. And, like, were any of those repeat teams?
No, I don't believe so.
Like, you had seven different teams.
Yeah.
No one in the AFC had multiple guys other than the Texans who had three.
It's pretty good.
And then again, you have guys that are either, like, close to being on this list, like Kamari Lassiter, or you have guys who just graduated from being 25 that would be on this list if they were a year or two younger.
And you've got your draft picks, like I said, that you've got to factor in if they become players at all. Bullock's on that list. Ball Hawk last year, only going to get better in my mind. So, yeah, in a year's time, that number may go up by a couple.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be good young players around the league, too. But
now the challenge is going to be when CJ's contract comes up, too.
That's going to be the challenge.
Yeah, how are you going to sign all these guys?
Who do you pay? Who do you keep? It's kind of why I was surprised they paid Jalen Petrie.
Yeah, and at least they didn't make him the top paid. Never mind. For a day, anyway.
I need to look up that contract because maybe they can get – maybe, like, a lot of that Petrie money's up front.
Front-loaded, yeah.
Because, I mean, it's 39 for three. I'm looking up guarantee. Okay. Petrie only has guaranteed salary the first 2 years.
Oh.
So, like, that kind of opens up
That's
right
big.
Around the time that you're about to pay
yep.
the other guys. So,
yep.
like, Jalen Petrie might be
and then you kinda
done with the Texans after 26.
This is the celebratory kumbaya contract, and then you have the tough conversation of, we really like you, we really want you to stay, but if you want to keep the team together, you got to help us out here do a solid.
I mean, he's going to be 27 in 2026, too. Like, that's a lot of time that you're not really, like, bringing players back.
No, I think.
Because you're going to have to make hard decisions. You can't pay everybody.
And as long as it's structured like that, I think it at least gives you the opportunity to be, what's the word, creative. To be creative and say, hey, we've got the opportunity. Otherwise, it's a conversation that you don't want to have about you might have to let him go.
Yeah.
But if it's just renegotiate and he likes it here, he's from here, he's a local kid, he loves D'Amico and what they're doing, maybe he does you a solid and you give him an extra year.
Yeah, because you do see that in the NFL.
Wow.
You see a lot of restructure in the NFL.
Yep.
Because, I mean, you're going to have to – I mean, Stroud's going to make tons of money. Like, and Dre and I had the is he going to get $60 million conversation.
I think
gun to my head. Like, I'm not – you know, gun to my head, do I think C.J. Stroud makes $60 million a year when he signs his contract extension next offseason? Gun to my head, yeah, I think he gets $60 million a year. So that's big money. Will Anderson's going to make big money.
I thought he was going to be the first. I didn't think Dak was going to get an extension and get even more money. But at the same time, there's no question in my mind he's going to get 60. I just think maybe over the course of the contract that he gets creative like Mahomes if he really truly is, like, dedicated to the franchise
yeah.
success too. But I think initially, and I think it'll mean something to Mulgeta too, that he will initially be the top-paid quarterback at over $60
million. It would be nice if he does the Mahomes thing.
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
Where he's just like, here's just give me 10 years and $50 million AAV and do your weird capology where you can game the system and you can have depth. Because that would give the Texans the best chance to win overall. Like, it's the Brady route. It's the Brady route. And he's spending time with Brady with Michael Rubin, so that's good, I guess.
Well, let's hope that he gets a whole bunch of sponsorship deals in the next year or so that he can be a little bit more generous when he gets paid.
Like, there's a decent chance that this is going to be the deepest Houston Texan team with C.J. Stroud as the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, and when you look at it, like we were talking about from a receiver room perspective, that might be the deepest receiver room that they've ever had. But overall, when you look at this roster and you talk about the youth, but the combination of the youth and the savvy veterans they picked up, some of the guys they decided to pay like Hunter, this roster is close to as deep as any roster that the Texans have had, maybe short of the 14-2 year.
Yeah. I was looking at it more, though, from, like, going forward.
Oh.
Because, like, you're going to have to pay these guys and they're going to be taking a bigger chunk of the salary cap and a bigger percentage of the salary cap, I don't think the Texans are going to have the financial flexibility to put a deep team like this team on the field again.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I mean, again, this is why we always talk about you got to strike while the iron's hot. Iron's red hot right now. I mean, you've got a loaded roster, and hopefully for the next year or two, you can capitalize. And then once CJ gets paid, Nick's going to really earn his money to be creative.
Poor Marine, it's great that the draft genius Casario was able to get the Iowa State powerhouse wide receivers. Nothing says wide receivers like Iowa State does. So why is Iowa State catching strays here?
Well, easy to say that now, but if they both turn out, or even one of them turns out, but if both of them turn out, because we don't know what we don't know, there's a lot of people that had those two guys highly rated no matter where they went to school.
I mean, J.J. Moses went to Iowa State.
Did he really?
I Googled the best Iowa State wide receivers.
I had no idea.
Best Iowa State wide receivers, J.J. Moses came up, Todd Blythe,
nope.
Josh Lins, Chris Anthony, and Michael Horacek. So, Bormarine might be on to something here.
Best Iowa State basketball player might include not Horacek, but Hornacek.
Hornacek?
Yep.
Xavier, so Todd Blythe or Blith or whatever, he's the all-time leading receiver in Iowa State history. Then two Houston Texans are 2 and 3. Hutchinson's 2. Jalen Knowles, three.
That's right. Hutch went there,
Lane
too.
Lane Danielson, four. Alan Lazard, five.
Oh, really? The Packers.
Alan Lazard, Iowa State.
Okay.
And then Charlie Kolar and Jaden Higgins. So, yeah, Iowa State hasn't had the best reputation of wide receivers.
Is it Matt Campbell as a coach there?
Yeah, good coach.
He's a really good coach.
Really good coach. But I would push back and say Ohio State's never produced great quarterbacks.
No. I mean,
until CJ.
Yeah, other than CJ, when you think about it, one turned into a wide receiver that turned into a bust.
Terrible pick by Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, it was terrible. One of them, RIP, is no longer with us. That was a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Remember
Terrell Pryor?
Yeah, he was.
I remember how he was supposed to be the unbelievable. And he had some good years in college. And he bounced around a little bit in the NFL.
Dual threat.
Whenever he was in high school and committed there, he was going to be the best thing ever.
Yep, I do remember that.
I remember there's a bunch of guys like that, like Ryan Perilou. You remember Ryan Perilou?
I know the name.
Ryan Perilou at LSU was going to be this unbelievable. I think he was at LSU right after Jamarcus Russell. And he was going to be the heir apparent and just never did anything.
Yeah, Jamarcus no hustle.
Ooh. You see a lot of those with these high school dudes that come out oh yeah, this is going to be the greatest quarterback ever.
It's probably going to get worse because they're going to soak up all the NIL money, get paid like you wouldn't believe, and then turn out to not either have the want to or the ability at the end of the day, but still end up with a full pocketbook.
Dre says CJ kind of mid, third year will be the make or break season.
Well, go sign Dak for 60 and shut up.
I do think that this year is a make or break for CJ in terms of how much money he gets. He can't have if he has the same season he had last year, he's not a $60 million a year quarterback. If he has the season similar to what he did in his rookie year, then he's a $60 million quarterback. So I will agree with Dre on that front, but I wouldn't say he's mid. I mean, I would make the case that CJ was actually really good last year when you consider all of the incompetence, poor offensive line play around him.
Yeah, the offensive line is where I would start with it. The fact that you look at his overall numbers and they weren't as bad as what people say. I said this the other day. They want to call it a sophomore slump. The sophomore slump is only because the rookie year was so freaking good that if he didn't, come close to getting those same stats, people were going to criticize and say it was a step back. But when you look at it overall, David Mulgett is going for that bag because he knows he holds all the leverage that you have to sign him. You have to. He is your franchise quarterback no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to move on from him. So he's going to get every penny from you.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 4-9 Josh with NIL. I don't think you'll be able to judge players as much based on the college they went to.
I think that's somewhat true. I think you're still going to get the blue bloods that have the combination of money and the chance with exposure and winning to add to your portfolio going to the NFL. So the blue bloods are still going to get rich.
I think it's – that guy's wearing a schmedium. I think it's really dumb to
tell him that when
judge
–
no, probably not. Because, if you're wearing a schmedium, it means that you're
pretty happy
bigger
with
than
what
your fellow.
Just based on the
– I don't think you should ever judge a player based on where they went, though. I think it's stupid.
Yeah, look, there's plenty of quarterbacks. Ben Roethlisberger went to Miami of Ohio. Ben Roethlisberger turned out to be okay. And I get it's a different era, and the point, NIL is going to mean something. NIL means at a certain point you're going to get Nebraska or somebody that's going to pay extra to get a quarterback that they're going to want to play, and you're still going to play in the NFL if you're that good.
Astros lost today. Let's react to the Astros losing today. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees live from Landry's Seafood House in Galveston on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, a quick look at the calendar. It's July 3rd. That means time is running out. If you want to celebrate the 4th in style and you want to have your own fireworks show, as well as going to see any of the fireworks displays that are put on around town. That's why I encourage you to go to Top Dog Fireworks. Top Dog Fireworks has 14 different locations around the Houston area. They have got a ton of fireworks, a phenomenal selection, and they'll take care of you along the way. But the one caveat is it's only while supplies last. And as we get closer to the 4th, they're only going to be open, by the way, until midnight on Friday night after the 4th. So that means if you got the 4th to celebrate, then you've got some birthdays, some gender reveals, some wedding celebrations, and other things where fireworks could be a perfect addition to your celebration, you got to get them now. Because after that, they're going to pack up shop and they're going to go home, and that's going to leave you out in the dark without any fireworks to shoot off. That's why I encourage you to go to topdogfireworks.com right now and find one of those 14 locations nearest to you and get there now. A portion of every sale at Top Dog goes towards supporting local youth organizations, so you're giving back while you're getting great fireworks. And they've got tons of contests, too. And if you want to get in, today is your day. Get in and register, because every time you purchase at least $250, you get a reward while supplies last. They've also got contests going on where you can get into the contest at topdogfireworks.com, or you can do it in person, but you have the chance to win the Top Dog Beast assortment valued at $1,100. But you can't win if you don't enter. That's why you go to topdogfireworks.com. Do the entering there. Do it in person at the Top Dog near you. But whatever you do, make sure you go to Top Dog Fireworks this 4th of July.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from Landry Seafood House in Galveston as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
That is true. We are at Landry Seafood House right here. Right here on the seawall in Galveston. Had a thought. I don't know if I should act on thought.
Act.
Act on said thought.
You have 3 days off after this.
Not going to do it.
Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent. Barbara, good. Saddam, bad. Not going to do it.
Could you imagine if you were in our spot right now and a hurricane was coming?
It wouldn't be good.
Like, that was my thought.
This window's not going to protect you.
I would be losing my mind.
And you're like, escape options. Is there, you know, at this point, the roads are jammed.
I read a book. I can't remember. It was something about the hurricane. Remember the big hurricane they had here, like, in the late 1800s?
You're going to probably say that I lived through it, but I don't remember it personally, but I've heard about it.
I forget the author of the book, but it's a really good book, and it talks about the devastation and destruction. Like, there were houses, because back in the day, like, the houses weren't the same houses we have now, obviously. There were houses that were floating down the Galveston streets like they were boats.
Just talking to some of the guys, Rick and Scott, and some of the guys that showed up today, and the fact that even we stayed down here last weekend for a tournament too. The houses now, whether they're new builds or rebuilds, the stilts just keep getting higher. Like, it used to be, like, when you go over not just the causeway, but you go over some of the other roads that are a little elevated, you could see maybe the rooftop.
Yeah.
Now you see the first floor and a half. Like, there's just... Because, and we were talking to the guys about this that live down here, how many times have you had to rebuild? And at a certain point, when do you just say, enough is enough? I'm not doing it anymore.
Be tough. Isaac Storm by Eric Larson. Good book. Good book. She talks about the destruction of that hurricane. I want to say it was late 1800s. This is saying it might have been 1900. Riveting story of the Galveston hurricane in 1900. Yeah, 1900. And, like, back then they didn't have radar. Like, you didn't know it was coming. Like,
right.
they would rely on the news of, like, people who worked on boats, mm-hmm, and came into shore to dock. Like, that's how they relied on the news. They're like, hey, there's a storm brewing out in the ocean. And, like, that was their information.
And it wasn't like you had these big ships like you have today. They were definitely, they got to survive the storm first to let you know that it's coming, and you got to stay ahead of it. Yeah, man. I mean, now when you talk about storm chasers, and I just think back as you were saying that, how many live shots were done where as far as the water is now, you're talking about that water was all the way up to the street, and it was ready to just come full tilt on shore.
Yeah, pretty gnarly. Pretty gnarly. But, yeah, good book. Worth your read. Rockies beat the Astros today, 7-6, series finale. Astros took 2 of 3, of course. Back and forth game. Rockies led for a majority of it. Astros led for a brief moment in the second. Astros would tie it in the seventh. Thank you, Cam Smith. Eventually, the Rockies would hang on for a one-run win. Astros threatened in the ninth. Pimped a fly ball to right field.
I think all three of us thought it was gone off the bat, and with his reaction, and were highly disappointed when the right fielder caught it crossing the foul line about 25 feet from the wall.
He thought he pimped a routine fly ball to right. He didn't think he pimped. He pimped a routine fly ball to right. Then he thought it was gone, but it was final out. Brandon Walter, Jamie Moyer, not good. 5 runs in 5 innings. I mean, it's Coors. Like, do you look at his – like, yes, it's not a good line score. Do you look at this line score and you're like, you know what? I don't believe in Brandon Walter anymore.
See,
I can't.
If you're going to give – and I think we both gave – Colton Gordon a pass the other night because spin to win. He relies on his spin. He doesn't have an overpowering fastball. I think Walter's in the same boat. I think Walter's out pitches, and the majority of his successful pitches have some spin on them.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to get those pitches to have the sharpness in the location, in the altitude, in the Magnus effect of Colorado. And that's why over the last couple of days of this series, it's just I understand Denver's a great market. I understand it's nothing against their fan base. I understand that they want baseball in Denver. It's just it's a totally different brand of baseball for every team that plays there, and it's a really unfair home field advantage for the Rockies because pitching is – even if you've got premium pitching, it's tough to get successful pitching in Colorado.
They just don't take advantage of it, though. And, like, it also hurts them, the Rockies. But, yeah, I don't judge
but
pitching
performances. From a Rockies perspective, you and I talked about this yesterday. How do you get good pitchers to say that they want to, no matter what, you got to give them more money? But even still, I don't want to go there and then I get more money and then everybody expects because I'm getting more money, I got to have success. And then my stuff doesn't translate to the altitude.
Okay, so you mean unfair home field advantage to the Rockies
yes.
and that it neutralizes their home
Absolutely.
Field?
Absolutely.
Okay, I thought you meant it like it's unfair to
no.
opponents going
no,
in
no,
there.
No, no, no,
okay,
no.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
Brandon Weems was bad.
Yep.
Two runs, five hits. I guess I missed the first time that Weems – did I call him Brandon Weems? I missed the first time that Jordan Weems pitched, I guess, because it's the first time I've seen him in an Astros uniform.
I remember – Brian would play the sound effect of who the is this guy.
For Walter, because, though. We did it for Weems, too?
No, because I remember thinking that's the sound effect. Because when they activated him, I'm like, wait, who? Even I, as a casual Sugarland Space Cowboy aficionado, was like, I've never heard of this guy. And he's making the active roster. And now he's pitching in baseball games.
He's got flowing blonde hair. He's going to love that trip to L.A. He's going to feel right at home. But he surrendered the lead, gave up a couple of runs. Could have been more, too, but a bad Rocky slide that was called safe at the plate, originally overturned on a nice replay challenge by Joe Espada, Caleb Orr. Now, some people on the Twitter were complaining that Espada managed this game like it was a throwaway game, even though it was like tied late by using Brandon Weems for a second inning. Whenever the game was tight late. What do you think about that?
I had a notion or two watching it that this might be one where sitting in a great spot, getting more games on the Mariners in this series and getting the first two, knowing you're going to have a series everybody's watching against the Dodgers. The problem is that with 15 injuries right now, you're limited because, as you mentioned, their bench sucks. And a lot of these bench players are starters. And so to have even – more than one in the lineup, which you're inevitably going to have to do, it's a less than lineup.
But I think it was more about the way he handled the bullpen because he used Weems for two innings. So I don't mind when he brought Weems in because they were down 5-3 in the
right.
sixth inning. Like, okay, like I'm not using my leverage guys down by two runs in a series finale day game with the Dodgers looming. But they did tie it in the seventh.
Once you tie it, yep.
So they tied it in the seventh, going to the bottom of the seventh, and you use Weems for a second inning. I think it's a fair criticism.
That is. That's for sure. Yeah, and again, you still have enough quality relief pitchers that you don't have to go to him, and you could have someone come in that could do what you needed to do. I totally understand that point.
Yeah, I think it's fair the seventh inning. I don't think it's fair the sixth inning. But I also understand Espada's point of view is like, hey, these guys have been throwing a lot. I need them fresh. Now, I don't really care about, like, the opponent. Like, hey, you need to stack wins. Like, it's not like, let me gear myself up for the Dodgers. I don't like that line of thinking. Not saying Espada was thinking that way, but if he was, I do think that's problematic. You should just be trying to stack wins any way you can get them and not really worry about who the next opponent
is. I think you're already at a disadvantage because no matter what lineup you put out there all three games this weekend or for the foreseeable future, it's going to be a less-than lineup when you're going to have Hummel or Trammell and or guys like that starting in your lineup. It's not going to be advantageous for you. So you can have that same feeling no matter what Espada does, even if Espada's not thinking that, because he really has limited choices, and he's going to have to go with guys that are on the roster right now that are available, and you're running out of options.
I would have to look at the pitch usage, but I don't think I condone using Weems for a second inning in the seventh with a tie game. That's my stance on it without watching the game because we were working.
Who else
obviously.
Would you go to? Because
I needed, that's why I would say I need to see the pitching
you
usage.
You used Souza the last 2 days.
Well, he'd be unavailable.
Yeah, so he's
you don't want to use
out.
Abreu for two.
You would rather not use Abreu or Hader unless.
I mean, I don't mind using Abreu and Hader today.
I think
they didn't pitch yesterday.
But I was going to say unless you're in the lead Or in Abreu's case, if you're getting to the eighth and ninth.
I would use him in a tie game, but I'm not using him in a tie game in the seventh.
Not in the seventh.
So, like, the question is who would be the seventh? I mean, they used Ort. They used Ort
King
to finish
the game.
King didn't
pitch last night. You could use King.
Yeah, I don't think the Weems seventh anything was great. Especially it was a second inning. You tied the game. You used Ort in the eighth. Like, just use Ort in the seventh. Use King in the seventh. I would need to see who's coming up, and we didn't watch the game that intimately
right.
because we were working. But just kind of dissecting and talking through this, I think Weems in the seventh inning was a bad idea.
It seems like it now that we've got even just the intel that we've gotten since the end of the game, it definitely seems like.
And it's not like box score revisionist history thing. Like, even if he pitched a shutout inning, I would have questioned it because he's your lowest leverage reliever. And then it didn't work out, so now we'll be super critical about it. Yeah. Huh. All right, 713-780-ESPN. That'll be a fun series, though, Astros, Dodgers. Shohei.
Sure.
Shohei's tomorrow?
Shohei is with Fromber.
Oh, so really?
Yeah, they matched him up with Fromber.
And that's a national TV game.
Well, there you go.
It's a national TV game. The Dodgers play-by-play guy's calling it on Fox.
Is it Davis? Is that his
name? I forget his name. I want to be mad and be like, look at what they're doing to the Astros. They're putting the Dodger guy on the game. But Joe Davis. But Joe Davis is good.
Isn't he their second NFL guy, too?
I think that's right. Yeah. I like Joe Davis. I think Joe Davis is good. Yes,
he's
it's the
solid.
Dodger guy, but Joe Davis is pretty good, so I don't mind that at all. But, yeah, Saturday's game is a national game. I can't remember who the color guy is. It must be Smoltz.
It's Brzezinski. Oh.
It must be because it's their A-team. It's their A-team. I'm pretty sure it's Smoltz. I think it's Davis, Smoltz, and I think it's Rosenthal.
Greg Rajan, I think, put it out.
I'm like 90% sure it's their, like, World Series team.
Okay.
So it'll be a fun matchup in L.A. Shohei, two innings, and Fromber. Hopefully nine. All right, 713-780-ESPN, Killer Bees Live, Landry Seafood House. What's on the docket tomorrow? What's the ideal July 4th? What are you doing tomorrow? And do you like this hot dog eating contest stuff? 713-780-3776, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Another option on 4th of July is saving bunches of money with Monument Chevrolet this 4th of July. That's right. Celebrate with savings this 4th at Monument Chevrolet. Enjoy unbeatable prices on a wide selection of American-made vehicles. Take advantage of unbelievable deals through July 7th on some of the classics, like the Chevy Suburban, the Silverado, and popular new models like the EV Blazer and Chevy Trax. As always, the price listed is the price you get. No surprise fees, no haggling, no hassling. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, Monument Chevrolet is the dealer you can trust. Transparent, no-hassle pricing, get your car shopping done fast. Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 5 decades, and they help generations of families get into new and pre-owned vehicles, and they keep coming back because they trust the people in Monument Chevrolet. Monument Chevrolet prides itself on a family feel, a friendly atmosphere. They hire great people, which leads to a fantastic culture. Get a fair deal, a fast deal, an easy deal without wasting your time in aggravating, stressful negotiations. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. If you've been waiting to upgrade your ride, now is the time to do it with savings this 4th of July at Monument Chevrolet. Check out their inventory at monumentchevrolet.com. That's monumentchevrolet.com. Or just go visit them in person. 225 Beltway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from Landry Seafood House in Galveston as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees. ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live, Landry's Seafood House. Food is fantastic. We're right by the bar, just like in the vicinity of the bar. Drinks look very, very good as well. Rick bought me a cold beer. It was a delicious cold beer. A great time.
Look, I'm telling you, you can walk anywhere in this restaurant and the smells will get you. The food is all fresh. It's all prepared just the right way you like it. Everything's delicious here, and the atmosphere is fantastic. I mean, we sat here all day during the 3-hour show and had a beautiful beach view with the water.
Yeah, I could drink stuff here. Like right in this spot, whether it's coffee in the morning as I work, whether it's, you know, a little cold beer as I settle down, or whether it's a, you know, nice stiff whiskey as I settle down for bed, you know? Could be any of those
things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely a different experience than I had last week at a verbal beer
What?
Airbnb experience at the softball tournament.
You were at Airbnb?
You're trying
we
to
got
say
an
VRBO?
Airbnb for the weekend. For the a Verbo or a...
Same thing.
Yeah.
Where where
hey,
at?
Ryan, slow down. About a couple blocks back right here.
Oh, really? Yeah. You're up in here?
Uh-huh.
How was it nice?
The house itself actually was remodeled, and it was very nice on the inside. Yeah, but it was crowded.
So there's a bunch of
everywhere,
families?
Everywhere. Everywhere. For everything.
Oh, how about in y'all's house? Was it just y'all that rented it, or was it y'all share?
Yeah, it was like everybody from the team split up in like threes and got houses and then kind of dispersed accordingly. So everybody had room, bed, everything.
Yeah, that's I don't like sharing.
I don't. Yeah, place. I don't. Yeah, whether I don't care if there's two beds in the room. I don't need anybody else in the room with me
when
I'm sleeping.
Same. Haters should have been used. Should be used as often as possible, except like blowouts. Yeah, but when are you using them in the days? You're not using them the seventh. You're not using them when you're trailing. I think the argument today is who should have been used instead of teams in this. I'm not using Brayu for two innings in a tie game. I'm not using Hader in the seventh. So I don't blame Espada for not using a Brayu or Hader. I think it's fair criticism to say that you shouldn't have used Weems for a second inning. Whether it's Ort in the seventh, whether it's King in the seventh, I'd have to look at Okert's usage lately. You're right about Souza. Like, he probably
Okert pitched last
unavailable.
Night. He might have
was he picked back-to-back?
I think he pitched both nights.
I think he got an out on Tuesday. Yeah. So he was probably limited. He was trying to squeeze that extra inning out of Weems, which is fair to criticize. But I'm not using Hader in the seventh. And I'm not using Hader at all in this game the way that it happened.
If you're down two runs and you're in the seventh inning and you want to get multiple innings out of Weems, I'm all for it. Because now I do understand having all hands on deck for the Dodgers series. But once you tied the game, things should change, and he should change his way of thinking accordingly.
Completely agree. Texture, what's y'all's take on Chase's comments on Pat Mahomes, saying if Mahomes didn't have Kelsey, he'd be Kirk Cousins with a headband. I didn't see these comments. Where did these comments happen? I don't know if these comments are – take 5315's word on it. If he actually said it, then he belongs on Bad Take Boulevard. That's a terrible take. Pat Mahomes would be just fine without Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce's career was made more by Pat Mahomes than Pat Mahomes' career was made by Travis Kelce.
Yeah. That's just a no-brainer. That's a no-doubter. When you look at how many receivers Pat Mahomes has elevated, made better, and won Super Bowls with, when you look, we talk about receiver rooms, you talk about that was your receiver room, that was your receiver room. Yeah. There's no doubt Mahomes is the constant and the alpha in that offense.
But I do like that Chase is talking trash. I do get entertainment out of this. Talking a little bit of trash. This looks like it might have been old, too. Looks like it's recycled from something he said, like, last year.
Someone said something in the last 24 hours about the fact that Mahomes is losing his grasp and slipping from being the best and most dominant quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, people are looking at the numbers in fantasy football too much.
Probably right.
Texas without Joe Burrow. Jamar Chase is just Jerry Judy with dental jewelry. It's messed up.
Wow.
Oh, that's a bad take. What are you doing this fourth? What's the ideal fourth for you?
Oh, I think the ideal fourth is always the fact that you're going to make sure the kids see some good fireworks because they love them. And so from that perspective, you start there. Starting tomorrow, your morning, I'm going to probably take the girls to work. So until Lisa's done with work, it's daddy-daughter day, and we'll get some breakfast, and we'll get out to have some fun, whether it be at a trampoline park or, you know,
you yell at people at the desk again?
No, unless, I mean, if they're cooperative, no. If you go to certain ones where they serve alcohol, it can be a little dicey because the parents get a little out of hand. Then probably make sure that with the wife coming home, prepare some food so that later in the night we can get the girls to see some fireworks. Unfortunately, we probably have to split up because we got to make sure at least they'll probably stay home with the dogs.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah, that can be tough for dogs. We might just have a chill one this year. I don't know if we have any, like, major plans.
That's right. You're skipping the neighborhood festivities because of
– I'm not skipping it. The neighborhood is skipping it.
Yeah.
And I just don't know if I want to go out. So it might be pretty – It might just be pretty tame, pretty relaxed. Which I need a relaxing day. What do you make of these hot dog things, though? Do you watch it? Do you care for it? Are you a fan of it?
It's weird because I've got a couple of buddies back home in Wisconsin that just love it and want to see it live. I could care less. Like, I couldn't care less. Is that what I'm supposed to say? I will see the highlights. I will check the numbers. I will see if it was competitive. Like, does it go down to the final, you know? But other than that, I'm not watching it live. I know that they drag it out forever before they actually do it. So is Chestnut back in it this year?
I have no idea.
Because yes, last year, didn't he? I guess he went off on his own because he got sponsored by a vegan.
Oh, that's right.
He got
vegan hot dog company and did his own. What'd you say, Ryan?
He got banned from the competition last year because he was.
Yeah, but is he back this year?
Yeah, he's back this year.
I don't think that's why he got banned. I think he got banned because of the sponsor he signed with.
Right. And because Nathan.
No, he signed with them afterwards.
Nathan sponsors the big one, and he went and got himself money for going to the other one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not the guy to ask. I think this stuff is disgusting. Like, I can't stand it. Like, they're scarfing down hot dogs in a manner that I've never seen a hot dog scarf down. Like, they're swallowing it whole. It's like one bite, swallow, one, like, swallow the rest.
Is there a doc on this?
It is disgusting. It is filthy. It is nasty. Anybody who watches this needs to reevaluate their life choices.
There's, like,
first of all,
YouTube
just the thought of taking a bun.
We can't hear you, Ryan. Sorry, we just can't hear you.
The thought of taking a bun and soaking it in water just so that you can get it to go down your gullet is nasty. But there should be a documentary at some point, if there's not already, about these guys. And, like, how quickly do you throw up when you're done? Like, what's your gut training?
Do they do it on purpose, right?
I think all of them, basically, or a majority of them, once the contest is over, just to get yourself some freedom, you just throw it up.
I've heard that, too. I would not watch this documentary. This sounds like a terrible thing to watch.
You know, we always want to go peel back the curtain. How do you do it?
No, I don't want to peel that curtain back.
I want to know. I don't want to see the actual throw up regurgitation. I want to know if you just tried to attack 80 hot dogs, how long that stays in your belly before you decide can't do it no more.
Like, I feel disgusting when I eat 4 hot dogs. Like, I feel like I don't want to move after I eat 4 hot dogs. They're scarfing 80 down their gullets.
Yeah, and then the other thing that comes into play is when they say they're training. What's the training consist of? You gorge at the dinner table for, like, an hour, and then once your belly can't take anymore, how long can I hold it there before I got to go barf it all up?
I don't understand the concept. I really don't. Planning on grilling redfish on the half and cowboy ribeyes tomorrow. Wife is making a ton of great sides. Bad day to be a beer tomorrow. That sounds like a great day. You know what? I might thaw out some steaks. Maybe I'll put a little surf and turf tomorrow. It's not water. It's lemonade, Joel. No, it's not. It's not lemonade.
It is not, because the acid in that, it ain't going to help you eat more hot dogs.
That's disgusting. All right, 713-780-ESPN, car wreck of the day. I give a car wreck of the day in advance for the hot dog eaters tomorrow. Car wreck of the day, what is yours? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. You know what would be a great idea for July 4th? Being out at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. That's really a good idea for any day in July. It's really a good idea for any day on the calendar. But you can get incredible savings right now in July when you book 5 nights, 35% off. Escape the rat race. Escape the hustle and bustle, the stress and the anxiety, and get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Escape the city and enjoy the relaxing, great outdoors. Book that stay right now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. Book 5 nights, save 35%. Open green spaces, wildlife, majestic trees, and some of the best fishing in Texas. You can't beat it. A couple of ways to fish out there, too. You can fish on the Two Creeks. They have a catch and release pond, which is great for the kiddos. You're going to love your time there. It's just 90 minutes from Houston, too. You can escape the city without traveling too far to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. We're in Galveston right now. If I was driving up to Two Creeks Crossing Resort, I think I could get there before the sun goes down. I really believe that. I drive fast. Hike on their 92-acre property, kayak, pickleball, or just hang out by the pool with a drink. All of that sounds great. And Two Creeks Crossing Resort always looking for innovative ways to take care of their visitors. We were out there a few weeks ago. They had live music, had food truck. It was a great time. We stayed in the treehouse. Treehouse kids love it. Kids still talking about the treehouse. We're going to make our way back up there soon. But they have glamping. They have cabins. You can pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everybody. Incredible savings right now in July. Book 5 nights. Save 35%. Book your stay now. TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. That's TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're
taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Give me your you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Car wreck of the day. 713-780-3776. What is your nomination for car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Blankers, what you got?
The chair official at Wimbledon today stunned all of the viewers and Ben Shelton, who was about to serve for the match at Wimbledon.
I thought he was a country music singer.
Okay, well, that's Blake, but maybe it's his brother. I don't think so if you saw him. But Ben Shelton and all of ESPN covering it live could not believe the guy in the chair decided to suspend the match for the night on match point as he was serving to win the match.
During the serve?
Right before he served the final serve. And everybody's like, this is unbelievable. Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? Oh, he wasn't. They have to come back just for the final match point.
I wonder what the rule is here. Like, I wonder if there's, like, a very specific, it happens at this specific minute
type of thing. Well over 30 minutes before the decision was reached, had said at that point they would be okay with suspending the rest of the match.
Yeah.
They did not do it, and then elected to do it on the final match point serve.
Huh.
It's pretty bad.
Bush League?
Yeah, because you got to you have to take into consideration the fact that television, ESPN is your cash cow.
Yeah, I think it's too hot there. Pretty hot, yeah. A lot of crowd mic there.
I was like, what are you doing trying to bring in celebration?
It is popping inside of Landry Seafood House, and thank you to Landry Seafood House for having us out. But, yeah, that was a bit hot. I'm living in Brooklyn now, and I'm really thinking about going to the hot dog eating contest in Coney Island in the morning. You're on the list. You can be the car wreck of the day.
Let us know how bad those
are. You just made the list.
He's back. He's back. Veggie hot dog sponsor for the band. So I guess he got rid of the veggie hot dog sponsor. It's also kind of, I mean, it's kind of Bush or Franks to ban them for having a different sponsor. I guess it's part of the laws, I guess,
but
of hot dog eating.
It's all the art of the negotiation, too, right? Like, if I'm your headliner.
Art of the deal?
Yeah, if I'm your headliner and you aren't going to give me a little something extra for being the guy that's bringing everybody's attention to this, then I'm going to go out and get it somewhere else.
The guy before Chestnut was Kobayashi, and in a doc, Kobayashi said that he wouldn't throw up and his sweat would smell like hot dogs for days.
Oh, my God.
I would be trying not to sweat. I mean, you'd have no choice but to sweat. You'd be sweating all that
out. So there was a doc about it. Yeah, because Kobayashi was his competition for a while.
How could you not throw it up?
Again, like you're talking about, just the sheer numbers. I mean, I know what goes into the hot dog. I've said that before when growing up they took you to the field trip to see the hot dog plant. You don't want to see that.
You took a field trip to the hot dog plant?
Oh, yeah. You go to Usinger's and you go through the whole field trip, and then you don't want to know how the sausage is made. As a matter of fact, it will affect you going forward knowing that that's what's in your hot dog.
Did you how many hot dogs do you eat a year?
Zero.
You don't eat any?
Zero.
I eat probably about four a year.
Because I know what goes into them.
I probably eat it twice, two sittings a year, two hot dogs per sitting.
A dear friend and former colleague of mine once summed it up best. You can probably guess who it was. But when you find out that it's everything from the rooter to the tooter inside a hot dog, it'll change your ideas.
I mean, you eat chicken McNuggets.
Now, and a bratwurst tastes a whole hell of a lot better than a hot dog,
no doubt.
Too. But it's basically a lot of the same ingredients.
Where will you be next week? We're going to be at a Pleasure Pier next week.
Yep.
You heard about the Big Texan Challenge, 72-ounce steak, shrimp cocktail, salad and bread in 1 hour, and it's free. The record is 4 minutes and 18 seconds. No way.
No flipping way you're eating a steak that big.
No way.
In 4 minutes.
It's in Amarillo. I do know about it. I've driven by it. I would try.
I'm sure A.J. Hoffman would try.
I don't think I'd be able to do it. My car wreck is Luis Ortiz. He's been he's being investigated by Major League Baseball. He's going on leave because they're investigating him. They're investigating two individual pitches, both to start an inning in which he threw a ball. And the reason that this got flagged is because there's books out there, I guess, that offer strike ball, first pitch of an inning. And there was like this unbelievable wage on first pitch of the inning, so it flagged it. So see how that goes for Luis Ortiz. All right, what's winning?
I'll say Wimbledon and the fact that.
Yeah, I like that one. That one wins.
Serve.
That one wins. Does it for us. Thanks to Age for all the hard work here. Ryan, all the hard work back at the station. He's Blank on Brandon. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great 4th of July. Enjoy your weekend. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.